Would you please stand with me for the reading of the word? We're reading today from Philippians chapter 2, continuing in our series. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like to follow along, which I strongly recommend, there are Bibles on the back table there. Also, if you need a Bible or you know someone who needs a Bible, you don't even have to ask, just take one with you. So we're reading from Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. Having read about Christ Jesus and his descending to earth, giving up his power to serve us, Paul continues and he says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me." May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. I'd like to introduce our speaker today, who is Dave Postal, who has actually been here not too long ago, a couple weeks ago. And Dave was pastoring for 20 years up in Comox and served faithfully that church and really is a model to us of longevity in a time when pastors sometimes last, you know, much shorter time than that. And he and his wife have been in ministry for 42 years. And probably even more impressive, they raised four kids under four. Four under four, and they're still alive. It's pretty quite impressive, and it's quite an inspiration to me. So we're thankful to have them there, have them here. They are retired at this point, and they are serving as section pastors in our district, which is sort of like a pastor to the pastors. And they have ministered to us and to others, and continue to do so in their role. So will you please welcome Dave as he comes up?
Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you, Hannah, for that warm welcome. It's so good to be with you today, and I have to say that when it came to raising four sons, actually under the age of six and under, it's my wife that deserves all the credit for that one, because most of the time on Sunday mornings especially, she was like a single mom, because I got to just kind of get up and preach and, you know, help with the service and all that kind of thing, where she was really running around doing all the stuff with the kids. And so, oops, we're losing our stuff here. Just tighten it up a little bit. Anyway, it is just a joy to be here. And yesterday, to be with the men of Oceanside and that breakfast and lunch, man, I have to say, it was probably the best work bee, Pastor Joseph, that I have ever been to. And it was just absolutely fantastic, and I even got the scars to show from it, working up on the roof. And I've never been in a building with so many skylights, and like when you get up there, I started counting, like it's crazy. But what a beautiful, wonderful facility that God's blessed you with. Years ago, when we were in our early years of pastoring in Comox, we came down to this area, and we got to tour this building before you actually even moved in, and saw all the little rooms and all the where these birds were and those birds were. And but isn't it great to be able to be part of the ongoing vision of what people started? Like I loved what you said, Joseph, this morning about just it's time now for this generation, this group of people, to continue to take those next steps of faith, because there were people a long time ago that took big, huge steps of faith. And God never leaves it all just for those who were before us. But now that as soon as we come into the new setting, into this new season, we become part of the ongoing vision. And so I want to encourage you with that. I also want to say that just from my little observation, and we were here a few weeks ago, and I just have this strong sense that you guys are doing it the right way. I want to say that, you know, some churches might take shortcuts to try to grow a church, but I don't sense that here. I sense that you are, there's a longevity that is being put in place, and the fact that you are giving focus to high priority to the Word of God, which we're going to do this morning, high priority to prayer, your Tuesday prayer gatherings, praying before the service, and just a real strong sense of God's presence. God's not going to grow his church through just a bunch of, catching the latest trend. It's going to be the longevity, the eternal Word of God, and prayer, and investing in your next generation. Don't you love the sound of the children in the back there? Isn't that amazing? And so keep doing what you're doing. And don't take the shortcuts. Be willing to really go deep, and as you go deep and broad, you'll go high. You'll go a long ways. And so let me encourage you with that today. The other thing I want to say, maybe you guys know this already, but October typically is Pastor Appreciation Month. Let me say, love your pastor. Do all you can to appreciate Pastor Joseph and Hannah and their leadership team and the pastors, that the people that serve with them. Honor them. There's life that flows in honor. And so let me just encourage you with that. So if you have your Bibles, and we've already read the scripture, thank you, Hannah, for doing that. Philippians chapter 2. Starting at verse 12 through 18, and the title of my message this morning is Show and Shine. And I noticed on the front of the cover of your bulletin today, you've got this classic car, and I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about Show and Shine, but I'm curious this morning, how many car buffs here? Do we have any guys that are part of the Seaside Cruisers? Yeah, over here, good. I know in the Comox Valley, like in the summertime, a lot of times these guys would come out with their fancy cars that they've restored, and you know, they shine them all up, and they go out to A&W, and they just love to show off, you know, this product, this beautiful car that maybe once was off in the bush somewhere, kind of just rotting away, and then they take this, what they've got, and they make something absolutely beautiful out of it. And I think you can sort of just kind of go with the picture without me even having to say a whole lot about it, because we really want to get into God's word this morning. The thing that we want to get to eventually is how that God has called us to shine, and he wants to show off his people, and he wants to show off the people of Oceanside to this community that you get to live in. And so here we are. Last week, Pastor Joseph focused on verses 1 to 11, and he talked about how that Jesus lived his life for others, how that Jesus demonstrated his true humility, and what true humility is all about, and what it looks like. And I loved one of the things that he said, what Joseph said, and I got to listen to a sermon online. I was out in Tofino on the weekend, last weekend, with my son, our oldest son, and on the way home, I got a chance to listen to Pastor Joseph's message, and let me say, if you have not gone online, if you missed sermon, they're well done, and so you don't need to miss a thing. So let me give you a little plug on that one. So just a great, great message. If you missed last week, go and get it, and just really absorb that truth from verses 1 to 11. But Joseph said, talking about true humility, he said, true humility is not thinking less of yourself, but rather thinking of yourself less. And I love that word. Not, you know, like belittling ourselves, not spending time just like having this almost like a false humility, but thinking of ourselves less. And we see the beautiful picture and demonstration of how Jesus lived his life, not just to please himself, but how Jesus lived his life for the sake of others. And in verse 5, Paul said, he says, and your attitude, everyone say my attitude. He said, your attitude, my attitude, for the sake of others should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Friends, you really want to live a life of joy, which is the theme of this message or this series? You want to live a life of joy and purpose? Then make it your goal to live like Jesus. He is the model. He is the one that we are restoring these broken, fallen people like you and I. He is the model that we are going after so that we can truly show and shine. And so we pick it up here in verse 12, where he says, therefore, and as Hannah said, he's referencing what has already been said. He says, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, and I love this, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now he's giving a little bit of a picture here of a teacher and a student, and just this whole idea, parents with their kids. He says you have obeyed, and he's actually complimenting the church. He says you have been obedient, like obedient children, not only in my presence, but now in my absence. Now, how many had kids like that? Let me just see your hands. You had kids like who just, you know, when you weren't around, when you were, they just loved to obey you, right? We had four sons, and let me tell you, that wasn't always the story. But here we see Paul, he's actually complimenting them and saying, he says, not only did you obey in my absence, but he said, how much more in my presence? What a tremendous compliment that he is giving, and it's really a sign of growing in maturity. And I think that's the thing: maturity when we can obey God, when we can obey not just when the pastor's looking, not when just when we got some authority looking over our shoulders, but even when when no one's looking. And that's what we see this amazing picture here showing. He says, and so Paul says, don't stop obeying, don't stop growing, don't stop maturing. He says, but continue to work out, everyone say that with me, work out. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes this passage is sometimes misunderstood. Sometimes people look at it and they think, does that mean, I've got to work for my salvation, I've got to put more effort into this, and somehow I've got to earn brownie points and get God's favor and all that kind of stuff. No, it's not talking about that at all. What Paul is actually talking about, he's not saying work at your salvation. He's not saying work for your salvation. He's saying work out your salvation. There's a big difference. The reality is, the bottom line is, and Joseph talked about this last Sunday, the bottom line is the work for our salvation has already been done. How many are thankful for that? The work for our redemption and the work for our forgiveness has already been accomplished. Jesus, when he hung on the cross, one of the last things he said was, it is what? Finished. The work of salvation has already been completed. Paul said in Ephesians 2 and 8, he says, for it is by grace. Yesterday I shared with our men, the men, a little bit of my grace story. And I love this word. He says, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves, not of your own effort, not of your own works. He says, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. Friends, never forget this. That salvation is God's gift to us. And you don't have to work for a gift. You don't have to earn a gift. A gift that is earned is not a gift. It's a gift. And so there's nothing that you can do to earn God's favor. So what is Paul saying here when he says, continue to work out your salvation? Well, basically what he's saying, work out what you already have. And if you're following the outline this morning on the back of your bulletin, he's basically saying, shine what you already have. Shine what I've already done for you. Shine what I'm doing in you. Shine, if you wanted to, I'll let Joseph, he can get into more of this whole idea of sanctification, but it's a kind of a theological term which just talks about how that God just continues to work out the change that needs to take place in our life. Paul is saying, work out what I've already done for you. Work out your salvation. Look at verse 13. He says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. And so just because God has saved you and the work for your salvation is already completed, that doesn't mean that God is finished with you. That doesn't mean that the change and the transformation is not completed. God continues to do his work. And so we just need to continue to work with him. We need to continue to live a life of surrender and live a life of obedience and to live a life of working with God. And so there's God's part and there's our part. And that's kind of what he's saying here, to work out your salvation. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, and if you want to just jot a few, I'll give you a few references along the way here. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship. Another word there is, we are his masterpiece. God is good at what he does. And he loves to take that broken, rotting person and make something new out of them by his Spirit. Created in Christ Jesus. Created like Jesus. Jesus is our model. He is the one that the master artist continually looks to. And so that he becomes our model when it comes to what we want to be like. Philippians 1:6, earlier in this book, Philippians, he says, and he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion. How many are glad that God's not finished with you yet? You wives, how many are glad that God's not finished with your husband yet? The Greek tense of this word, work out, which I think is really a cool word. And it's interesting, sitting around the table yesterday at the mealtime, at lunchtime with the men, someone started talking about how that sometimes there's differences in meanings between our English language and some of the original language of the scriptures and ancient languages. And sometimes we get a little confused over what these words mean and how they even apply to today. But the Greek tense of this word, work out, simply meant to finish something that has already begun, or to work towards a goal. I think that's a great way of expanding on this whole idea of working out. It's to finish something that's already begun. And so what's our goal this morning? What's our goal? What's the goal? What's the goal that we should be thinking about? To be more like who? Jesus. How many would say you've got a little bit of room to go? I know I sure do. Our goal is to have that same attitude of humility and servanthood that we see modeled in Jesus, to live our lives like Jesus. And so that's the goal of the workout. Thinking this morning about, some of you, I'm sure, are kind of into the whole fitness thing. And, you go out and you work out and all that kind of thing. And like, you have this idea that one day I'm going to be this, like just this specimen of fitness and just all buffed out and all that kind of thing. And people have that goal. They go stand in front of the mirror like, how am I doing, you know? And let's face it, sometimes working out can be hard, can be challenging, and sometimes you don't want to work out, right? And so one of the questions I want to throw at you this morning is, what is it that makes for a joyful workout? What are some of the things that are required when it comes to this workout that we're supposed to work out? How do we actually do this workout? Well, I think, first of all, it starts with desire. You know, like come January, it's interesting, all the fitness clubs just, you know, they just ramp up because after Christmas, people just want to, we got to work out and we got to get back in shape here. We got to get on that low carb or that whatever carb diet it is, you know. How do you know what I'm talking about? But it starts with a desire. You can't just... It's not going to, workouts are never going to be joyful if you're just dragging your whatever into that room, you know. Look what he says in verse 12. Again, it's one of these words that sometimes get us a little confused. He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And again, we look at that and we think, does that mean like, oh man, if I don't work out, if I don't continue this workout with God, that like he's just gonna take me out? Because that word fear and trembling has that kind of that picture of like, if I don't do this, I'm in big trouble. How do you know what I'm saying? That's kind of the picture we have of fear and trembling. When in actuality, the tense of this in the original language was more about an eager desire and a passion to actually see something happen. It was really an eagerness to please, not like, if I don't do this, I'm in big trouble. And so, if we're going to have this joyful workout, it needs to come out of an eager desire to please. I was thinking a little bit about this. Can you imagine getting married and you have this sense of with your wife, if I was to say, you know what, I love my wife Barb, and I'm going to love her with fear and trembling. There's times when, like, yeah, no, I like, if you know my wife, like, she says, like, but that would be a crazy thought to use that sense of, like, I'm going to love her, because if I don't love her, I'm going to be in big trouble. But the sense here is I'm going to love her because I want to eagerly please her. And I think that's the sense that God would have for us. With fear and trembling. Yeah, there's respect, and we totally get that we are serving a holy God that we need to live in awe of and reverence and so on. But the sense here is that we get to do this. We get to work out this salvation. We get to work out what God's doing in our life because we want to live our lives in such a way that we please Him. We want to honor God. We want to please God with our life. And I don't, when I was just studying this, I thought, there's just so much more joy in that. We get to do this. We get to work with a holy, awesome God. And so fear and trembling just simply speaks of, we get to do this. A joyful workout begins with an eager desire and passion to please God. The second thing that helps to make for this joyful workout is things that we need to do is to spend time in God's presence. And I just see that this is becoming a big part of the culture of this church. But not only just this church, but it needs to be part of the culture of our lives personally. Taking time for giving thanks and giving praise and worship. There's something wonderful about being in the presence of God and every day just taking time to give Him praise and thanks and giving Him worship. Taking time for the daily renewal of our minds. The scripture says in Romans 12 and verse 2, he says, "Don't conform any longer to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds." Let's face it, part of this workout is having our minds renewed. It's this inward renewal that comes through the Word of God, through Scripture, through meditating on His Word. I love David when he said in Psalm 119, one summer I did a whole study all summer long on Psalm 119. And I would encourage you to maybe even this week use it as a bit of a foundation. You read Psalm 119 and you just see how David loved the Word of God. He loved His law. He loved the statutes, the commands, and it's just an incredible psalm. It would be a great one just as a bit of homework this week to just meditate on Psalm 119. And David said, "Oh, how I love your law, and I meditate on it day and night." It was the joy of his heart to meditate on the words of God. Ephesians 4 says, "And you were taught," verse 22, "you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its evil desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self," and I love this, he says, "created to be like God." See, your new self, through the renewal of your minds, through the Word of God, through prayer and meditation, and through praise and worship and giving thanks, what's happening, the result is that God is actually taking this old life and making something brand new, creating you to be like God in true, it says, in true righteousness and holiness. There's something powerful about when we allow the Word of God to renew us. Interesting that there's a lot of studies being done today on the brain, and I don't quite understand all of the elements. In fact, there's tons I don't understand about it. But the renewing, when our minds are being renewed through the Scriptures, through time in God's presence, they're actually finding scientific evidence that it's actually helping to renew our brains. And how many would say, "I could use a little renewal there"? I know I can. And so you will never go wrong when you take time and spend time allowing God to renew you through His Word. This is part of the joyful working out of what God is doing. And then in verse 14, another thought here about the joyful workout, along with desire, along with spending time in God's presence. It's just, again, having that right attitude. Verse 14, he says, "And do everything without grumbling and complaining, without arguing." Basically, he's just saying, having that willing surrender. Like, it is no fun being a Christian if all you're going to do is complain and gripe about what God's asking you to do. How many know what I'm saying? There is no joy there. And so, again, he's just constantly saying, right passion, right thinking. I think a few weeks ago when I was here with you, Joseph, you talked about how we pray like Paul, and I think it was the right pathos, the right thinking. We need to have that right thinking if we're going to actually pray. We're actually going to allow God to do His special work in our life, that we have right passion and right heart and right thinking and a right attitude. Do everything without complaining or arguing. And so this is a little bit of what's involved in this workout. And so the intention is that it would be a work of joy, that God is just doing this amazing work in us. So he's saying, shine what you already have. Shine, he says, work out your salvation. Have you ever noticed that sometimes we're interested in, like, how come God's not doing the work in that guy's life? You ever notice that? We're very conscious of how come that person is so rebellious, or how come that person is so, whatever. How come that person, it just seems like they're just stuck, you know, and we can get so focused on everyone else that we got to say, work out your salvation. Work out, let me focus on what God's doing in your life. And if anything, pray for that other person. But allow God to continue that work. And so, first thing here is shine what you already have. And secondly, I want to say on your outline, shine where you are. And I love this in verse 15. He says, and I want to respect time here. He's saying, continue to work out your salvation without complaining, without arguing, so that we can become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. And so this whole work, there's a purpose behind becoming blameless and pure. There's a purpose behind the becoming without fault. To becoming more like God's children, to becoming where your life and your character and who you are really genuinely reflects that you are one of God's children. We are God's children, but now we need to reflect that, and that's kind of the point here. And the more this happens, the more we allow this work to take its course, the more we will shine like Jesus. And notice where it is that we're called to shine. He's saying, you're called to shine in a crooked and depraved generation. Let's face it, sometimes we are put in a place, we're called to shine in places that it's not easy. Interesting how even the New Testament, when you look at the book of Acts, the early church was not, they didn't have a welcome center for the early church. We're so glad you've shown up. The early church, let's face it, was born into a very hostile environment. How many know what I'm saying? The early church, people got killed for being Christians. It was a hostile environment for the church. Even the Apostle Paul got thrown in prison how many times for preaching the gospel? We see that the apostles thrown in jail for preaching the gospel, thrown in jail for shining. And so we don't get to choose where we're going to shine, but we get to choose how we're going to shine, right? And so when I read this, it challenges me to shine where I am, to shine where I live, to shine in my town, to shine in my neighborhood, in my family, in my country. And does this mean we're always going to agree with stuff? No. To shine, if you're in any form of the political arena, to shine where you are. We've just had elections, right? And chances are that not everybody that you voted for got in. And so we've got this attitude, are we going to just grumble and complain and speak evil of those people? Or are we going to shine? Are we going to pray for, the Bible says we're called to pray for our leaders, right? We're called to shine. We're called to shine in this generation. And I wish I had more time to get into this, but the reality is we are living in a time today when Christianity is increasingly becoming squeezed out into the margins. And I think the church needs to be ready for a new season because it's quickly, we've seen, and even in the last couple of years, we've seen an acceleration of the church getting squeezed out into the margins. And it just suggests to me that if there's ever a time, let's face, stars always shine brighter when it's a dark night. There is no better time for the church to shine than now. As our culture, as culture wars sort of ramp up, this is the time for the church to shine. And to ask for God to give us wisdom and grace. I remember one time I went down, I was paying my taxes at our city office in Courtney, and I took a thank you card along with paying my tax bill. And I said, I don't know where this is going to end up, but I just wanted to thank our city for the services you provide for me. And so I just wrote out a little card and signed it and gave it to them and then paid my bill. I have no idea where it ended up, but I just thought, you know what? Those guys get a lot of criticism, right? Look for ways to shine. Philippians 1:27, he says, whatever happens, and I think Joseph talked about this a while ago, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Joseph shone as a slave in Potiphar's house. Yeah, was there injustice? When he got sold into slavery? Absolutely. But Joseph chose to shine in spite of the circumstances that got him into a tough place. Daniel and his friends shone in Nebuchadnezzar's palace. Queen Esther shone, earning the favor of her pagan husband. Paul shone in his prison cell. And because he was willing to shine, even though he had been badly mistreated, the Bible says that the whole palace guard soon heard the gospel. If we're waiting around to shine just when the circumstances are good, we're going to have to wait a long time. God calls us to shine where we are. God wants you to shine in your community. In whatever the season or time, whatever the political season is, he's called you to shine. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. I loved when we were here a few weeks ago when you introduced your volunteers for the breakfast program over at the Arrington School. I think it's just up the road here. Those are ways that you shine. Shine as a church in such a way that they may not agree with everything you stand for, but boy, your community, let them understand that your community is going, they're going to miss a lot if they ever try to shut you down. Make it hard for them to shut you down. Years ago, we had to, I don't know if you have to do it here, but we used to have to, our town council started sending us we had to apply to have our taxes on the church property waived. And we had to actually write out, basically, they wanted to know, why should we waive your taxes? And at first, we kind of felt threatened by it. And I said to our council, I said, this is good for us because it makes us accountable for the tax breaks that we're getting as a church. We need to show our community that there's a reason, there's a good reason that we're here. So we started naming off all these different things that we provided for our community. And not that we were trying to, they were asking us. And so our heart was, let's make it hard for them to shut us down. And I just see what you guys are doing as awesome. And let me encourage you to shine where you are. And then the last thing before we close, I want to just say this. Along with shining what you have, shining your salvation, shining where you are, the last thing is just keep shining, shine on. And Paul is saying, he's saying, shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, so that I can boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. You know what? Basically, kind of what Paul is saying here, he's saying, you know what? I've poured into you, and it would just bring me great joy. He said, make my joy complete by being like-minded. He says, it would just give me so much joy if you would just continue what I've done for you, how I've led you, how I've taught you, that you would teach others, that you as a church would invest into your next generation, that you would invest into your youth, into your young adults, and all that, so that we can see the church continue to shine. Basically, Paul is saying, he says, my time is coming to an end. And you know, Barb and I are sort of feeling a little bit of this right now after 42 years of pastoring, that there's something inside of us that's saying that we want to see this next generation flourish. We've been bragging about this church, where we've been traveling and where we've been going, and we've been bragging about Joseph and Hannah, because we just see that, man, there's just something good here, and I see this church continuing to shine, and you're going to shine even brighter. And it's like Paul is passing the baton from one generation to another, and for him, it's a cause for great joy. He says that my run and my labor is coming to an end. He's just basically saying, let me do it with joy, make my joy complete. And part of this is he's saying, as you hold out the word of life, he's saying, as you shine, then you are able to share the word of life with those around you. Interesting story, Acts chapter 16. Story of preaching the gospel in Philippi. Paul ends up in prison. And guess what happened? He's in prison. Their hands and feet are in stocks. They're just, it's a tough place to be in. There's an earthquake that takes place. Maybe I'm sure you've probably referenced this story already. But during the night, the Bible says at midnight, they could hear Paul and Silas praying, singing hymns to God. What were they doing? They were shining where they were. And when the Philippian jailer realized what was going on, he was afraid that the whole prison was, all these prisoners were going to escape. And he was ready to end his life right there, because he knew that if anyone escaped, his life would be done as a Roman guard. And Paul said, hey, stop. We're all here. And that so impressed that Philippian jailer. It so impressed that jailer that what did he do? He said, what must I do to be saved? And in that moment, because Paul and his Silas, because they were willing to shine in a tough place, what it did was it opened the door for him to share the gospel, to hold out the word of life. Wouldn't it be awesome to think that the day will come when maybe they're trying to shut the church down, and someone comes along and says, but you know what that church is doing up at that Arrington school? They're in there feeding those kids every day. I wonder what makes them tick. Some of you right now are maybe in a tough place, and you're having a hard time shining. But you're going to be put in a place where someone's going to come along and wonder, what is it that makes you, and you're going to have a chance to hold out the word of life to them. And that's part of the shining on. And so I'm going to invite the worship team to come back. And just for a moment, I want you to, why don't we all stand? I want you just to bow your heads with me. In a moment, we're going to sing a song called Blessed Be Your Name. And part of the lyrics of the song talks about how that you give and you take away. Still, I will choose to say, Blessed be your name. Sometimes we're in the land of suffering. Sometimes we're in a hard place. But it's in those times that we choose to say, God, I'm going to glorify you with my life. I'm going to shine where I am. I'm going to shine what you have already done for me. And so my question this morning is, maybe with your heads bowed, is what is the Holy Spirit saying to me this morning? How's my workout going? How's my time with Scripture and taking time for daily renewal and allowing the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, time in His presence to renew my mind? Is my workout a work of joy, or do I do it grudgingly? Is God asking you to do something right now that you're resisting and saying, God, I don't want to do it, and you're grumbling and you're complaining? Maybe it's time to say, God, I'm sorry, and I repent, and I ask for forgiveness, and welcome what He's doing in your life. Welcome it with joy. Maybe you're in a family situation where it's really hard for you to shine. Maybe it's, Holy Spirit, help me to shine where I am today. Maybe you're a school teacher and there's a lot of things that are pushing you out into the margins as a teacher, as an educator in today's culture. Help me to shine. Wherever it is, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a way that is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Make it your goal to live like Jesus, to be like Jesus, to shine like Jesus, even in a hostile environment. We get to shine. Give you praise now. Father, I pray your blessing over Oceanside Church and these beautiful people that you are calling together for your plan and for your purposes. And I bless them now. We bless. We thank you, Father. We bless your name. In Jesus' name. So listen for God's voice. Listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit who is drawing you closer to Himself to be more like Him.